17.2 to 20.3. That's the nothing personal word of the day here on the first day of May, 2024. 17.2 to 20.3. What's he talking about at 8 o'clock live on Nothing Personal with David Samson YouTube channel? That's the percentage of the season that has passed. But I had to include every team. Some teams have played only 28 games. That's 17.2. Some teams have played 33 games already. That's 20.3. There's a bunch in between. So I could have made this a whole longer thing. I could have told you the teams at 31 games have played 19.1%. Or I could have just said 16.666667, which is 1/6, because the first month of baseball is already over. I loved my board of scores. I kept track of scores and attendance on a huge board in my office. And I used to climb on a chair in order to fill out the games, home games in April. And then by October, September, you're on your knees trying to reach down to write the scores for the last of the season. And that is how the season goes. It starts from standing on a chair on your tiptoes down to bending over on your knees with your creaky back. It goes fast. It may seem like yesterday that the Dodgers were opening the season in Korea, but we're ready after a month to give you some reviews. What's happening? Let's review April. We'll give you storylines. Every month we're going to give you storylines, the biggest surprises, the biggest disappointments. We're going to make predictions for the following month, and we're going to do this as a new segment on the first show of a new month, which happens to be today because it's May 1st. So let's start off right now. Let's start with the top storylines of the first month of the season. And I think it is hard to argue that the number one thing that people have been talking about is umpire malfunction, which is a nightmare scenario for baseball. Here on Nothing Personal, an award-winning baseball podcast, we are not talking about the Mariners' rotation, the excitement of breakout stars, the Guardians' offense, the Orioles' offense, the Dodgers' offense. No, no, umpire malfunction. When will the automatic balls and strikes happen? How long will we have to listen to Max Scherzer channel his inner Boris telling us his suggestions on how to make it better with umpire relegation? Boy, that's really a good possibility. I think that we should make that a wait to see so we can add it to the list of where people think that there's no accountability for the things that I predict or say. Umpire relegation. Nope, not going to happen. The second story, the biggest top storyline, now we're going to get to the performance on the field. Uniform gate. Oh, is that really the second top storyline of the first month? It is. Between Jessica's ass cracks and people's sweat stains and see-through nature, and then Fanatics and MLB supposedly doing an about face. We covered this last week on a show. It's been a huge part of what people have talked about. But the third top storyline, we are in, back to baseball. Where will the A's play? This can't be right, Coca. There's no way that we came up with a list of the top storylines and we have umpires, uniforms, and the A's relocation saga. All right, we're going to have to do better because that's not even close to how baseball should be. That's a nightmare. So I'm going to apologize, Dice, and we are going to go with a brand new list of top storylines. We're not going to be those people who are so focused off the field with this absolute distractions and garbage. Here we go. 4, 8, 6, 9. Top storylines for April. Number 3. The Boston Red Sox and their performance and their pitching. Have you paid attention to how good their rotation is? Now it gets lost in a division where they're supposed to finish in last place. And everyone's so busy during the live Boston show. Everyone's so busy hating Henry hating Fenway Sports Group. Meanwhile, the Red Sox have the top ranked, the lowest ERA in the American League. It's historic what they're doing. Number two, an amazing storyline. And this one is devoted to you and dedicated to you, Coca. How about the Mets pitching staff? The story of the Mets above 500, not getting lost in the shuffle in the NL East, where it's just the Marlins who are terrible, which is not a top storyline. Who do they have? Not Scherzer, not Verlander. Severino? Manaea? Senga? Hurt? Somehow, some way, they're second in team ERA behind the Phillies. Don't tell me anyone would have predicted that. Oh, because Diaz is back? What did you predict? Ottavino would not give up a run? And the number one storyline that you may be missing, but not if you heard my prediction for the entire season, where I'm now 1/6 closer to this prediction happening. All the way tucked in the Pacific Northwest, those Seattle Mariners. Look at their rotation. Castillo, Kirby, Gilbert, Miller, Hancock. Second in team ERA to the Red Sox. But they don't give up runs, those starters. It's really quite unbelievable to look at. The worst ERA on that team belongs to a guy named George Kirby. You may not have heard of him, but watch him pitch. It's pretty cool. And when we were evaluating pitchers' command, you know, it's cool if you can throw 101. But if you don't know where it's going, then you're just Charlie Sheen. Command is how you get players out. It's how you get a long career and a lot of money. George Kirby has more games started than walks in his career. Just think about that for 1 second. More games started than walks. That means he goes through starts without walking a guy. I mean, you could figure out what that means. That's pretty good command. So watch for the Mariners. And one little thing that we'll do each month is whether or not I'm ready to back off any of my preseason predictions and say, no, we're starting over. We're changing that one. After 1 month, I'm happy to say, and I'm talking about in terms of standings, not in terms of individual awards, because Spencer Strider clearly will not win the Cy Young. Luis Castillo could, not likely, but you never know. Although I don't think I had him. I can't remember who I had winning. Either way, I'm talking about teams, standings, World Series winners, division winners. After 1 month, I am still not changing a thing. You can't change your predictions after a month. Although the Mariners one looks decent. All right, what about the biggest surprises so far in the month of April? So it's not so far, Coca. Let me do that less in a less clumsy way. 4, 7, 8, 69. The biggest surprises of April are the following. We're going to each month give you a list of surprises. It's going to be both team, player related, something going on that surprises me on the field for that particular month. The number three surprise of this month is Marcell Ozuna, our former outfielder, now a DH because he can't throw. The guy who I thought was going to get released because he couldn't hit and he was getting arrested and having issues with domestic violence. But lo and behold, he is now an offensive force, an MVP candidate, hitting .327 with 9 home runs already, an OPS over a grand. He is not striking out the way he used to. He's just having a great year. He's a great hitter. And every time I watch, total side note here, Coca, the Yankees played the Brewers sometime this week. I don't remember when. Sometime before the brawl that happened last night. I don't know if you're listening to this show specifically, Mike, but right now you're looking at videotape. Mike Hill is trying to figure out who to suspend in the Rays from the Rays Brewers game, where Uribe and Siri threw some punches. Before the show, Coca said he's got a great rule. If you're going to run in from the bullpen, you better at least fight. You all remember, well, there's 30% of you, I bet, who don't remember at all. I submitted a rule I was part of a conversation about a rule change within baseball that if you leave the bullpen or the dugout during a brawl, you are automatically suspended, like leaving the bench in the NBA. I don't know, Sarah, is there a rule, or Coca? Is there a rule with hockey that you can't leave the bench during a fight, that it's an automatic suspension? It's a fantastic rule to have. And in baseball, they don't have it. So you have all these people, like, go watch the video of the Rays Brewers, or not, I'll just take my word for it. The bullpen's running side by side, and then they stand there, and then they have to go back. What a waste of time. Ozuna's number three. Number two, not going to be a surprise on many people's list, but it is mine, and that is Juan Soto. Juan Soto is tracking to win MVP along with Mookie Betts. Can't say I'm surprised with Mookie Betts. Juan Soto, I was surprised that he would get to the Yankees and do what he's done in a lineup where he has not gotten the type of support that I expected out of Stanton or Judge. And what is most shocking to me is the fact that I could be so shocked. Juan Soto is a Boris guy in a contract year. He is going to be a free agent. He no longer has to bitch and moan in the Padres locker room that he's not signed deals. He can now focus on, he knows he's not going to get a deal. He's this much closer to free agency. Might as well rake and then make Boris look good when someone gives him half a bill. But it's April. But Soto had a good April. And the number one biggest surprise that I've seen so far this month has been the American League Central Division. The Guardians are 9 over. The Royals and Tigers are each 4 over. The Twins have won 9 in a row. I'm ignoring the fact that the White Sox are in that division because I think we all knew they'd lose a hundo, and they're going to lose a hundo. But the Guardians, Royals, Tigers, and Twins in a division where it's normally nobody can win, this is an interesting thing. Hope. Hope is something where you're in a division where you say to yourself, if I just do a little thing here, sign a little player there, maybe add a couple mil here, I could win this thing. Imagine being Bruce Sherman with the Marlins, looking at the Phillies and Braves and saying, "What? Why? If I'm losing money with a $90 million payroll, why would I make it $100 million, lose 10 more million to get another player where it's not going to help me catch the Braves? It's not going to help me catch the Phillies." I've been in this mindset. I was in the National League East my entire career. When you are chasing a team that you can't catch, and I count the American League East, because what Baltimore did is an incredible outlier. It's really hard to rebuild the way they did and rebuild and get it right and then be the power that they are for this moment. It's hard to do what the Cubs did when they won it in 16, what the Astros have done, which may be over given what you're going to hear about them under disappointments. But when you feel as though you don't have a shot, it can quash your desire to invest. In the Central, when you know that everybody sucks, why wouldn't you just do it? And the Royals, the Guardians, the Tigers, the Twins, they're trying and they're succeeding. It's an absolute race after 1 month. That's a surprise to me. How about disappointments? Can't do surprise without disappointments. Can you really be disappointed after 1 month of a season? I don't think you should be. It's too early. How about this, Matt, if you don't mind? Instead of labeling this the biggest disappointments, how about labeling it the biggest could be disappointments? Because if it doesn't change, then it's really going to be a disappointment. Number three is the Diamondbacks made it to the World Series, signed all these players, and now they're really not performing in their division. So it's a little early to say that they're going to be a disappointment. It's only April, but boy, they were a disappointment in April. We are talking about April. Hold on. Hi, it's David Sampson with Nothing Personal. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to start this show and we're going to talk each month, the first of the month, about the surprises, the disappointments of the previous month, and then what there is to see or what we're predicting for the following month. So I'm actually talking about disappointments in April. So we should call it the biggest disappointments. And God ram it, the D-backs are the number three biggest disappointment this month. Number two of April disappointments. I love doing this show. We're live, baby. Number two, the Astros. The aforementioned Astros, they just optioned Jose Abreu. You have to get permission from a player of that service time to option him. And he agreed to go get at-bats. He's going not to AAA. He's going to spring training. It's an interesting situation because he couldn't come up with a backache or a little shoulder fatigue or some reason to lie about putting him on the IL, because the Astros are on their best behavior since garbage can gate. Why don't you see more players who are underperforming agree to go down and get more at-bats in spring training because they want their major league pay, so you just put them on the major league injured list? The Astros have not had any pitching success. They're hitting. I think they're leading the league in average right now, which they are, which is good. Altuve, above average. Alvarez, the Mexico City thin air, did him well. But without pitching, you're nothing. I don't know how many times we have to tell our owners that. Without pitching, we are nothing. And signing the top of the market and pitching is not how you become something. It's with good scouting, good development, coming up with players that the fan base and you, the owner, have never heard of. The Astros have been really good at that. And then they all got hurt, and now they're on a stretch where they're not being as good. So their April was horrific. I would tell you that I think, Coca, I'm going to add a prediction here for May. Right on the spot. This is what I do, so he can keep track of it. Because with these predictions, so I'm giving you now predictions for May. When June 1st comes along and we look back at May, we're going to evaluate how our May predictions went. Number one. The Astros will be on my list of May surprises. That's funny, actually, because I just realized how silly that is. I could just put them on the list and I'd be right about my May predictions. So I guess I have to be better. The Astros will play at a... Ooh, let's do that, Coca. How about the Astros will play on a 600 winning percentage clip in May. That's what we'll say is our first May prediction. Before we get to the other predictions, it would be really nice if I finished with my biggest disappointments. I had the Diamondbacks as number three. Excuse me for losing track. It happens. People who saw me in New York know that it happens. That's the charm sometimes. Number two, Astros. The biggest disappointment of April, it's a runaway. I don't even need to say it. Boris's client, Blake Snell. Reigning Cy Young Award winner, hurt, 11-plus ERA, hasn't won a game for the Giants. I don't believe the Giants have won a game that he started in. Absolutely stinks. No idea when he's coming back. No idea if it's going to matter, if it's going to help. Blake Snell is the number one disappointment for the month of April in Major League Baseball. So let's predict now what we're going to see in May. First, we're going to see the Astros, and they're going to play a 600 winning percentage. They're going to turn it around. That's a prediction. Number three, that was number four. Number three, a manager is going to get canned. This is the month. There's rumors already about the manager of the White Sox. There's possibilities with the Cardinals. I wouldn't say the Rockies are in danger, but maybe the Marlins, doubtful. Schumacher's going to be there for a bit. There's some disappointments going on in the top of the West division. Yeah, it's not going to be Ron Washington. We're going to talk about what happened to the Angels. But I think a manager will get fired. Number two, May prediction. The Orioles will start to pull away. They've already won the first two games of the big series against the Yanks. Of course, there could still be a split, but when you're even, you really want to try to get 3 out of 4 in an early game series when you're at home. That's what the Orioles are going to try to do, and they're on their way to that. I think the Orioles start to pull away. When you look at their team, they're leading the league in home runs. They've got pitching. Other than pitching, speed, defense, hitting for power, hitting for average, plus baseball IQ, I can't think of one thing the Orioles have going for them. And the number one May prediction is that the aforementioned Seattle Mariners, they're going to start to pull away in the AL West. So the way that we can evaluate it, Coca, on June 1st, is that, and I don't know if there's a show June 1st. I don't know what day of the week that is. I could certainly figure that out relatively quickly. That we would go back and pulling away, we have to give a definition to. And that means extending the lead that they currently have. I think that's the best way to do it. June 1st is a Saturday, so we'll do this on Monday, June 3rd. We'll go through what happened in May. I can't believe a month has passed already. It's almost October, baby. Well, it wouldn't be a season without the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim being an absolute disaster. This year predicted because Ohtani left, but it's looking a hell of a lot like when Ohtani was there. I'm really not sure it matters. I don't know that I have statistical proof for that, but can we go back? How quickly can we get what the Dodgers' record was on May 1st last year versus what it is this year? And then the Angels' record on May 1st last year versus what it is this year. You would be thinking to yourself that the Angels would have gotten way worse and the Dodgers would have gotten way better because one team lost Ohtani and one team gained Ohtani. The fact is that the Angels, with all of the money that they have spent on position players, Anthony Rendon makes Wei-Yin Chen, Salty Lamacchia, every bad signing I've ever been a part of, the Rendon signing makes it look like I'm a Hall of Fame decision maker. Rendon is still owed $77 million. He has a hamstring strain, which means tear. He's not going to play for 3 months. 3 months, which is about how it goes for him. He hasn't played more than 42 games since 2021. It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. The other nightmare they have in Anaheim is the best kept secret because baseball doesn't want you to think that the face of baseball in their mind, Mike Trout, is actually a non-performing liability to a team. Mike Trout does not help your team win because Mike Trout doesn't play. Makes me sad. I'm not blaming him. It's not his fault that he's hurt again and he tore his left meniscus. He's going to have surgery. The old, we don't know until the doctor gets in there. That's my favorite thing that we would say to fans that we'd release to the media. Look for it when the players have arm surgery, like elbow or shoulder, or there's some sort of surgery with a knee. We always say, we won't know till the doctor gets in there. The doctor's got to open him up, look and say, ooh, that looks like a terrible tear. It matters how the player recovers. It matters how the player works. Mike Trout is a hard-working player. He will still miss on the long side of 4 to 6 weeks because torn left meniscus, you can play, which he did play, but the pain is such that it's not worth it, especially with your team who's not good. Mike Trout has averaged only 66 games a year since 2021. People complain about Stanton's injuries. This is way worse. He's owed $213 million, Trout is, for 6 more years. And all anybody's talking about is, hey, will he accept a trade? No, I'm really happy here in Los Angeles. I love being mediocre. I love losing. This is great. I don't want to be the face of any team. I don't want to be the face of the sport. I already told the commissioner that. I'm going to toil here in total anonymity. And I love taking family trips in October. Find me a player who schedules any trips in October and I'll find you a loser. Mike Trout doesn't plan trips for October this early, but boy, he could, because they don't make the playoffs and they're not going to make them this year. And it's not like he has to worry about his body breaking down from overuse. It's breaking down from age. Is it breaking down from bad luck? The pressure to have Mike Trout sign to the deal he signed to, and then the joke of saying, oh, maybe he should go to Philly, come home again. If the Angels could trade Mike Trout and a team would take on his entire contract, they would do it today. Forget Trout agreeing to waive his NTC. The Angels have to realize that what they're doing, it ain't working. Paying Trout, paying Rendon. Might as well start again. Go full rebuild, Artie. It's not like you're going to get 2.1 instead of 2.3 because you're rebuilding your team. As a matter of fact, owner of the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles, if you can take some long-term liabilities off the table, that will become a smaller purchase price adjustment when you sell your team. Because people buying the team, sure as hell fire, are not going to value Trout the way his contract reads. So you're going to take a haircut. You might as well trade him. It's too bad that Mike Trout is hurt. It really is. I love watching him play. He was leading off and hitting home runs, and it just makes me sad. Do you have something in your life? I do. Do you have something in your life that you can't stand to think about because it makes you so sad? I think we all do. I think that's totally normal. And so what is the defense mechanism when you don't want to feel sad? You don't think about it. But then comes the guilt because you're not thinking about it. You feel like you should be thinking about it, even though you don't want to feel sad anymore. But then when you start to think about it again, you go from happy to sad and say, I'm not doing that again. Oh, I've got to, or else people are going to think I'm not thinking about it or worried about it or caring about it. I think that's how it is with Trout and the Angels and baseball. They really would rather not have to think about it or talk about it, but then it's going to make you super sad. Turn on, you want to be sad? Turn on an Angels game right now or a White Sox. How about a Rockies Marlins game? That was sad, but it was amazing. I think baseball should have used Coca, the Rockies Marlins game, as a highlight reel of how exciting a game can actually be. 5 runs scored by the Rockies in the top of the first. Not another run scored until the bottom of the ninth when the Marlins score 5 to tie. It's a 5. It's then all zeros and then a 5. Marlins walked him off to win a game in the bottom of the 10th, but that was a pretty cool line score. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to review a movie, tell you what I did last night, and then we're going to talk about something that we don't often talk about around here, and that's death. But it's not a full topic. Don't change the channel. My favorite author passed away yesterday. We're going to talk about that. And then I promise you I have a funny story from yesterday's Nick game. We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. It's David Sampson. We're with you live every day at 8 a.m., then on the DraftKings Network at 10 a.m. You can find us, I think, on Roku. I don't know what time. I can't think of it right now. Of course, you can download and listen. You may be listening now. We appreciate that. The downloads, telling your friends about us, spreading the word. And then please go to davidsampsonpodcast.com. Check out the merch. Check out all sorts of cool things like our top 100 list and words of the day and movies we review. I still watch a movie every day. I did watch a movie yesterday, but I want to review what I did last night. The Tony Awards are the same as the Oscars and the Emmys and the Grammys. It's for Broadway. I love musicals. I love plays. I love going to Broadway. The Tony nominations came out yesterday. Tommy is nominated for a Tony or two. I don't have the exact number in my head because it escaped me. Just like that. Tommy, as in the Who's Tommy, as in fiddle about, as in Pinball Wizard, as in See Me, written by Pete Townsend when he was young. You could check this, Coca. I think Pete Townsend may have written the rock opera Tommy when he was 22 years old, which is somewhat staggering. If you have a chance to go to a musical or a play, there are a whole lot of them that you need to see prior to the Who's Tommy. But if you want a fun time where you recognize the music, who hasn't listened to Tommy and pictured Roger Daltrey playing Tommy, it's a 2 hour and 11 minute show, including intermission. It's got flashing lights and great music. In the middle of intermission, talking about the first act, and we're talking about things that we noticed, and all of a sudden someone behind us chimes in. You know, I don't love talking to strangers, but I enjoy when people introduce themselves and say, hi, how you doing? Love your show. Talking about Tommy, it was Rosie O'Donnell who was sitting directly behind me. I had no idea, and we ended up talking to her for the entire intermission. I didn't introduce myself. She didn't introduce herself. We were just two random New Yorkers talking about a Broadway show. And I was thinking, I love this. I never met her. Super nice. There was nothing political. There was nothing anything. We were talking about the musical that we were watching. And then that's the end. The curtain opens. The second act starts. It ends. You applaud. You say bravo. You go your different directions. And never the two shall meet again. That seems sort of normal. And it was fun. Go see Tommy. I have New Year's resolutions where I want to read more books. And I violate them at all times, because I don't read the way I used to, because I'm too busy reading articles to prepare for Nothing Personal or the Sporting Class or Levitard Show or anything I'm doing up in Toronto, Florida. Anything I'm doing, I'm reading. Coke and I are just reading stuff, looking for things to talk about. There was a time in my life where I read more, and my favorite author was a man named Paul Auster. Paul Auster has written a bunch of books, some of which you may have heard of, some of which you may have not. Check him out. I got notification late yesterday that he had died. Only 77 years old. And I want to give you my top 5 Paul Auster books. But before, I want to mention that Paul Auster was a major baseball fan. And I don't hide from some of the amazing benefits of being a president of a major league team, because forget the 7 day a week work week and all of the quote unquote pressure, though we're not doing brain surgery. There's plenty of upside, both from an ego standpoint, a financial standpoint, just so many upsides from a coolness standpoint. But one of the great pleasures is when you get to meet your own fans who you happen to be a fan of. Paul Auster was a huge baseball fan, and he came, lives in New York, lives in Brooklyn, lived. He came to a Mets Marlins game, and I sat with him for 9 innings. I got to sit next to an author and talk baseball, talk books, talk writing, talk philosophy, because a baseball game, it's a really cool thing to go with someone who you'd love to talk to, because there's a lot of time to talk. This was before the pitch clock. These were when you knew you got 3 hours to get a conversation in. Paul Auster told me something when we sat that game, and I never forgot it, and I've thought about it, and I can picture him with his, he was a, you know, sort of sunken eyes, but tan and white hair and just tall, this amazing presence. I was asking him about how he deals with two issues as a writer. One, writer's block. One, when you write something that you think is good that no one wants to read, and when they read it, they don't like it. And I compared it to what it's like to build a team that you think is good that ends up stinking, and what it's like to have the best intentions with what you're building and people assume that you don't, and that you're not doing the best you can or spending the most you can. And he told me that the biggest issue in his mind is not how the audience interacts with his books, meaning not how the audience interacts with the team that we put together. His biggest thing was writer's block. When I look at a blank piece of paper, and then he likened it to, don't you do that with your club every offseason? And I said, well, no, because we've got guaranteed contracts. There are players who we know are going to be on the team from year to year. So we actually have a completed template. And then we just fill in. So we'll have a blank starter number 4, starter number 5, if we're short starters, et cetera, or a bench opening, or maybe we need a better starting first baseman, whatever the case may be. So we don't have a blank slate. So I said, it's not comparable to when you start a book and there's literally not a word on the paper. And he said, no, David, go back further. The writer's block isn't the blank piece of paper inside the typewriter or the blank screen on the computer. The writer's block is when you can't come up with the outline of the idea that you're going to turn into the book. And the equivalent is in baseball, when the blank slate is that you don't know how to improve yourself, your team. You are trying to figure out what you need to do differently to start a different path. So he thought that they were similar. I didn't agree with him then. Now that he's dead, but I still don't agree with him. I think the most difficult thing is the blank computer screen. Paul Auster will be missed. Go read a book. I want to give you my top 5 Paul Auster books. Number 5 is called Book of Illusions. So good. Number 4, Timbuktu, if you're writing these down. Number 3, Leviathan. Number 2, Music of Chance. And the number 1 Paul Auster book, if you're going to read only one, read New York Trilogy. You don't have to be a New Yorker to read his books. You can either be a New Yorker, know a New Yorker, having visited New York, or can point it out on the map. That's how good he is. Paul Auster, I never thought that I'd be talking about you on Nothing Personal, because I didn't assume that you would die. Rest in peace, and you will be missed, and I appreciate the words on the paper, that's for sure. I had a moment yesterday, Coca. This is a noteworthy moment. I saw a kernel of a flicker of a thought, of a concept of me being a sports fan. That may not sound like a big deal to many of you, but let me assure you it is. Because 18 years on the grind, I got stripped of my fandom. I'm watching the Knicks Sixers. I'm having a moment as the Knicks are about to beat Philadelphia, win the series, and go on to round two against who I hoped would be the Bucks and still could be. And I was watching the game, the end of the game, after seeing Tommy. Last night, I didn't want to go out afterwards. A, I'm exhausted on fumes. This is the end of a marathon, literally and figuratively. But I wanted to just see what was happening with the Knicks-Sixers game. So I put it on the phone as I'm coming back from Tommy. Then I get back to the apartment, put it on. Knicks are winning. They're going to win. I'm happy. Not like I used to be in the 90s where it ruled my life. Knicks win, happy life. Knicks lose, miserable life. Where I'm wearing a Knicks shirt. I'm sweating. I've got a Knicks towel wiping my brow. I am a fan. I'm going to road games when I can, but I'm certainly going to every home game. No dinner and a movie when there's a Knicks game on. My family always knew that May and June, this is before I got into baseball, don't talk to me from late April until the end of June or until the Knicks get eliminated. That's how serious it was. And I felt last night, wait a minute, I remember how this feels, sort of. Some synapse was snapping. And then the Knicks freaking blew it. I don't even know how that happened. They blew a 6-point lead with 25 seconds left. Tyrese Maxey hit a shot from the damn logo. He had a 4-point play. Knicks were missing free throws. Then they got the lead in overtime and still lost the game. I was so angry, not just because it would cause me to lose a parlay, which was a plus 511 parlay where we nailed the other two with the Cavs and the Bucks. That's not why I was angry. I was angry because I was about to start caring again in a meaningful way, which means opening myself up to being hurt, but opening myself up to feeling that pleasure, the type of pleasure that I never felt as president of the team, the type of pleasure that as the World Series winning team president, that still is not the number one sporting moment of my life. The Knicks beating the Pacers in 1994 to make the finals finally, 94-90 in game seven, that was the number one sports moment of my entire life. Either in sports that I participated in is better than finishing the Hawaii Ironman. Seven marathons, 7 days, seven continents. I can't describe to you what it felt like when the Knicks were finally going to the NBA Finals for the first time in the 20 years that I'd been a part of that team. So I didn't get all the way back, but I was right at the beginning of opening the door. The Knicks lose the game, and I felt myself shutting it, which really upsets me. Nothing personal pick of the day. What an update we have. We had that Knicks-Cavs-Bucks moneyline parlay. It did not win because of the Knicks. The Bucks became the first team. I'm going to pretend this is my stat, but this came from Coca pregame. The Bucks became the first team without its top two scorers to win a playoff game. That seems a little strange for me to believe, but that said, no Giannis, no Lillard, and the Bucks cruised at home to win game five. All they got to do is win a game in Indiana, and they're back home for game seven. That's the psychology of it. The Sixers feel the same thing. Hey, all we got to do is go home and win game six, and anyone can win game seven. That is pretty funny. I mean, of course, it's statistically possible, but mathematically difficult. The Cavs are going to do exactly what we said. That's going to go seven, and no road team's going to win a game in the Cavs' magic. And the Knicks Sixers are going to have to figure out whether Embiid can walk, whether Maxey can walk, whether anyone will be helpful to Brunson. I don't want the Knicks Sixers to go seven. Actually, I do. I love game sevens. So we lost that money line parlay, but we had the Bucks plus four as our pick of the day versus the Pacers, and that was a straight win. So we are 54-63 going into Wednesday, May 1st. And here are the picks for Wednesday, May 1st. First, we've got game three of the Orioles-Yankees series. Orioles have won two in a row. This is the moment when you've won two out of four and you've got your ace on the mound. You've got to win tonight's game if you're Baltimore, because then the fourth game of the four game becomes the GG. The GG is called the gravy game. I am as desirous and greedy as the next person. I love getting the gravy game. But you can't get the gravy game until you get this game. This is game three of the four game. Once you've won the first two, Corbin Burns is minus 162 over the Yankees. And I believe the Orioles, and that's my pick of the day, they're going to win. And they're going for gravy tomorrow. In the NBA, we've got Heat Celtics. I think the Celtics are favored by 69 points to close out this series in five games. I'm not touching that game. I'm absolutely not. But the Mavs Clippers, a fantastic game fever. Mavs are given three. Luka has been shooting horrifically during the course of this series. I don't know what he's shooting, 30%, putting up 30 shots, hitting 10 of them. I still like the Mavs to win the series. To win the series, you got to win game five in a 2-2 situation. Don't have to, but it's way better. Mavs minus three over the Clip joint. Those are the nothing personal picks of the day. After the show today, I'm going to go down and go to Metal Arc Studio and record an episode of Sporting Class with Pablo Torre and John Skipper. On my way back this afternoon, I am going to look for a Dave and Buster's. I'm going to get out my map app and I'm going to find who would be the closest and who can I go with, because I've got that itch to gamble and I want to gamble on skeetball. I want to gamble. It's called skeeball. Sorry, Coca. Here we go. 1269. I want to go to Dave and Buster's. And I want to gamble on skee-ball and hot shots and all the other arcade crappy games. Did you all read this? I couldn't believe it when I read it. But here we go. This is an amazing concept. Lest you think that gambling has not infiltrated every part of your life. Lest you think because you don't download the app, which you should, download the DraftKings app. Use code SAMSON to get something. Or Dan. I bet you that the Q train will not be there when I walk down the stairs today. Anyone want to take that action? Is there an app that I can go on where I can get a little action on that? No? All right, let me try this. Let me try this then. I bet you. There it is. We can now bet anything. Blank. Fill in the blank. It used to be Lewis and Mortimer would bet a dollar on whether you can ruin someone's life and make someone's life and do it basically on a job, based on a job. There were gentlemen's bets. You'd pay cash. Golf, Michael Jordan, you golf with him, you bet, you settle up. Hey, I'll Venmo you. Hey, let's use that app where it splits the money, where we put in that the dinner was $80 and you ordered a milkshake, you ordered a burger, medium rare, but no onion. Therefore, you owe 20 cents under what he owes. Everybody is exchanging. No one's got cash anywhere. Everyone can do whatever they want on the app. If you're not responsible, it's going to get out of hand. Maybe the good news is that we're going to teach responsibility. But now kids can go to Dave and Buster's, or adults, and they've developed an app where you can bet with each other. You're playing skee-ball against this person. Hey, I'll bet you $5 that I'll beat you. Oh, you don't have cash? No problem. Download the special new app, the Dave and Buster's app. And we can exchange money right now. The reason why there was a company that raised, you know, let's say $14 million and has famous people like Mark Lazary putting money in, former player John Iser, a bunch of people putting money into this thing. It's a company that just says, wait a minute, there's such a huge growth of legal sports betting. Why wouldn't we give opportunities for people to bet on anything? I used to do a funny bet at the baggage claim. Whose bag would be first out? I'll bet you a dollar. Whoever gets first bag out wins the dollar. That's petty ante stuff. I got to now do it for real. It's legal. Might as well do it. I think it's really a great plan. I really do. Let's teach kids right now how to be responsible. We can't change the fact that gambling is a fabric of our society. It's legal. The apps are here to protect us. They are here to teach us. They are here to help the leagues with integrity. We might as well start training kids early. Don't touch a hot oven. You do it once, you're going to get burned. You won't do it twice. Learn how to gamble responsibly. I believe that all of the gambling apps should be a part of helping that, which they are. Because the earlier they start, it's just business. Going to Dave and Buster's. This is nothing personal.